as for why sugars are bad, they're not. But what's bad is the processing. So for me, you know, when you look at history and also just evolution, our bodies have not yet evolved in order to process processed foods. And that's why so many crazy things happen. When you eat a diet of processed foods, you become obese, you get sick, you are open yourself up to becoming, you know, to getting all different types of diseases. We know that a family that lives in a certain zip code in a desert, food desert, where there's not access to healthy foods, they're 70% more likely to die of these diet-related diseases.
Welcome to the Clean Body Podcast. I'm Lauren Kelly, a certified nutrition therapist and soon-to-be specialized holistic cancer coach with a certification in cancer biology from UC Berkeley. I am so grateful that you're here. This podcast introduces you to the souls and brains behind some of the cleanest food, beverage, and lifestyle products on the market. Because what you put on, in, and around your body matters. From cookies, bread, and mushroom superfoods, to adaptogenic lozenges, clean medicines, organic mattresses, and fluoride-free toothpastes, we'll explore how the brands came to be, how scientific studies drove decisions about ingredients and materials, and most importantly, how the products support all the physical and mental microscopic miracles that occur in your body every minute of every day. Thank you for being here. Let's get this started. Hey everyone, welcome back for week 7 of the Clean Body Podcast. I'm your host, Lauren Kelly, and today we are actually going to do things a little differently. About a week ago, I hosted a live Q&A with 5 guests who, some of them, their episodes have already been released on the podcast, some of them have not and are coming up in the next couple of weeks, but we are going to be airing the live Q&A audio during this week's episode. During the conversation, the guests and I discuss adaptogens, which if you've listened to episode 3 and 4 with Om Mushrooms and Kind Root, you've already learned a lot about them, so it'll just reinforce some of that information. We discuss the difference between real sugar and added sugars and the impacts those have on your body. And because it is Mental Health Awareness Month, we discuss how mental and emotional health impacts your physical health and how you can achieve that whole mind, body, soul wellness. It's a really great collaborative conversation with health advocates and experts in the industry. I'm so appreciative that they took the time out on a Sunday to talk to me and to answer all of the viewers' questions. We will be having more live Q&A events like this coming up, probably one every 4 to 6 weeks. So be sure to follow me on Instagram at Holistic Lauren Kelly or the podcast itself at The Clean Body Project on Instagram to stay up to date on when those events are happening so you can tune in real time, get your questions answered, or of course, you'll always be able to listen to them on podcast platforms as well. If you do like this episode, make sure you rate, review, subscribe, share it with a friend. And yeah, I won't take any more of your time. Let's just jump right into it.
Hello, hello. Welcome to the first Clean Body Podcast live Q&A. I am so grateful to have such an incredible group of people with me. Before we really hop into things and discuss both the food industry and the evolution of health and wellness and just mind, body, soul, well-being, I want some of the viewers to get to know you a little bit more in case they haven't listened to your specific episodes. Celeste's episode comes out in 2 weeks, so you guys get a little teaser of her before hearing her episode. But Alisa, how about you jump in and kind of just share with us what your discovery of health and wellness is and how you got into your own health journey?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Thanks for having me here. I'm Alisa. For me, you know, it really was sort of like rooted in my own discovery, my own needs. I've always had autoimmune diseases. So I've had asthma since I was a child. And so I generally was that person that, like, if anybody 2 floors up in an office was sick with something, I would somehow miraculously pick it up and be sick after with it. It's just absolutely crazy. Like, there's no traceability that could ever be found. And it just kept on happening, to be honest, like more and more often, just because I had a really demanding lifestyle and I had a really high performance, you know, career. And it was about, you know, 5 years ago where I just really felt like I've had enough and I felt like I really had to take the time and focus on myself and, you know, really health and wellness and sort of get out of this kind of rat race of constantly getting sick and then getting medication and then getting better, only then to feel kind of sick and tired afterwards. So I started working with a holistic practitioner, and that is really where I discovered that whole idea of, you know, healing plants and adaptogens. I started taking them and I just really truly felt a transformation in my body. You know, I was sleeping better. I wasn't getting sick as much. And I was just generally, I think, feeling much better with energy levels. And that then led to everything else. That led to better nutrition, that led to yoga, that led to meditation. And it really at that point became a lifestyle. And then in a way that then founded my new career as the founder of Kind Root, and we make adaptogenic lozenges. And the reason for that really was that I was always taking a lot of lozenges and I felt like they were just extremely stale and boring, both from the standpoint of ingredients, you know, not being organic, having irritants like menthol in them. But I also didn't feel like some of the other adaptogenic offerings on the market in terms of like powders and tinctures were very tasty or very accessible to people. They seem to be really intimidating from the standpoint of formulation and taste. And that's how this whole journey became. And that's how I'm here today.
Well, everyone has their gateway, right, into health and wellness. It's not like you flip a switch one day, you have no idea what health and wellness is or how to achieve a healthier lifestyle. And then the next day, you're just like this vibrant, vital example of health and wellness. There's always a gateway that kind of gets you started down that path. But Celeste, that's a great transition into your story because you're also big in adaptogens. Mm-hmm. And we're also going through the experience of they didn't taste very good. And you thought there was a different way to deliver the benefits of adaptogens in a more tasty, cool, trendy medium and mode. So I'd love for you to share your story.
Yeah, actually, you know, my story is a lot like yours, Elisa, where we, you know, women like us just have so much we want to do in the world, I think. And a lot of times it comes down to work and then work tends to seep into life. And then suddenly you're stressed out and can't really get away from it. And, you know, same thing for me. And so my background is I was a web developer by day, a food tour guide on the weekends, and, you know, had a lot of different just things that I had to do to keep it, you know, keep it together and keep myself afloat. And, you know, eventually I started my own branding studio and we started lots of amazing food related brands, for hospitality and restaurants. And when I did that, it came with the good and the bad where, you know, we were getting a lot of great experience, working with really like dream name clients. And then also having to deal with a lot more, you know, a lot more responsibility, a lot more work. And I ended up in the hospital a few times and I was pre-diabetic because the only thing that, you know, I was still, I would say I still had a day job, you know, at the beginning. And the only thing that that office like gave us was coffee. It was the only free thing that we could have in the office. So I was drinking like 5 cups of coffee a day and, you know, I couldn't have coffee straight. And so I was putting like 2 spoons full of like creamer and sugar. And eventually after even just months of that, I was so sick. And that's really the wake up call that I had where I woke up and I was like, oh my God, okay, I'm in the hospital. I have heart palpitations. I have a murmur now. I have, you know, I'm pre-diabetic and I'm like literally 5 feet, nothing. And I thought, you know, yoga was enough and it really wasn't. And I really learned the difference between stress that you feel emotionally and the stress that that leads to physically. And I'm actually, I'm Filipino American. And in our food, we have, medicine is built into our cuisine. You know, like today my mom is making, it's called sinigang. And that actually has tamarind. It has like a, you know, that just, there's a lot that we put in our foods that are actually known as anti-inflammatories. And, you know, turmeric is part of this. Moringa is part of this. It's just your daily food language. And, that's my mom was just like, you just have to, you know, go back to your roots. And it's really interesting that that's how it worked out. And that's how I ended up, you know, finding out about adaptogens. So I made a complete 180 Because like the 360 is like the full turn, but I made a complete 180. And, you know, I'm the kind of kid, I was actually the opposite of kids who watch like a documentary about animals and were like, oh my God, we have to be, you know, vegetarians. We have to stop eating animals. No, I actually watched a documentary about agriculture that completely turned me off to fruits and vegetables for a very long time. And so when it came time to really take care of my own health, I was faced with just this world that I had no idea about. Like I couldn't even, like vegetable identification was difficult for me. Where I was just like, I haven't even looked at the produce aisle in years. And it's just funny because that's how media was so important to me or influential in my life. And so that's what put me down the road of becoming a certified holistic nutritionist because I had so much to learn. And I, you know, and just kind of learning it from the basics all the way to what's modern in terms of science. Like that's what really worked with me and adaptogens really came through for me. And yeah. And so that's how we came up with Droplet. I was like, okay, well, adaptogens are amazing, but they are roots and vegetables and mushrooms. And when you heat them up, they taste like mushroom juice. And
yeah.
Right. And okay. Like I said, my background was I haven't had anything but processed foods and really delicious. Like I was drinking Kool-Aid in order to like just have water, you know, and like, and that was such a switch for me where I was like, okay, now that I know what great food tastes like, what healthy food tastes like, whole foods, how do I put these two things together? So people who are like me, who are struggling to make this switch into healthier eating, better for you eating, how do I make it so that it's a simple decision for them? And so for me, it was the formula, the packaging, the branding, how we speak. And that's how we came up with Droplet.
It's funny that you say you were eating all this delicious packaged, prepackaged food, right? Because I think we talked about it in our episode, your taste buds change. Totally. So when you start eating healthy, you're like, oh, well, I just have to accept nothing will ever taste as good as the prepackaged foods. But now after you've cultivated that habit and that lifestyle, I'll go back and eat a Reese's at Halloween. And I'm like, this is disgusting. This does not taste like peanut butter. It is right. Not good. And it's funny right. How your brain changes and the labels that it puts on what's good and what's not, you can actually change that over time as you change your habit and your lifestyles.
Definitely.
Brendan, I saw you shaking your head when she mentioned that she was turned off of fruits and vegetables because you spend a lot of your time tasting a lot of different fruits and vegetables from all over the world, sourcing the ingredients that you want in Bright Bars. So kind of tell us your background with that.
Yeah. Well, and I'll go back one step even further, which was in junior high school and high school, I actually ate garbage. So I grew up eating Carl's Jr. and going to McDonald's for breakfast and loving hash browns and pancakes with tons of syrup and double bacon cheeseburgers with onion rings. And it's kind of amazing to me when I look back at what I ate when I was 16, 17, 18. A friend of mine in high school once remarked, it's amazing to me that you're not obese. And so I kind of got a later start in health and wellness. And it happened for me in college when sophomore year, I started running and weightlifting. And I don't even remember what the impetus was for it. But I fell in love with the way I felt. And it was this epiphany for me. I'd never experienced that kind of lightness and that energy. And it evolved from running and weightlifting to swimming and then yoga. And I just wanted more and more of that energy and that feeling of being alive, which, you know, I call kind of that tingly feeling. And at the same time as I was getting really into just being active, I also developed a real love of food and cooking. So I was watching food TV and learning about really how to be a chef and intern in a couple of restaurants. And then I would go spend an hour, you know, running in the hills. And these things were kind of diametrically opposed. I remember I was interning at a restaurant in Berkeley and there was some leftover bacon fat and the chef made bacon fat grilled cheese sandwiches, which were disgusting. And then I went on this fire road, you know, running for an hour and just feeling so logged down. So I had this one part of me that was looking at food through the lens of, hey, what's healthy? What makes me feel good? And another part that I was looking at is saying, well, what's really interesting and new and different? What's delicious? What takes me on a journey when I eat it and makes me forget where I am? And I just kind of escape into pure sensory delight. And this love of both of those things continued. Over time, that also led me to meditation. And it's really at the intersection of those two things that I've built my career. So I spent a long time working in a big food company. I always, frankly, felt kind of like I was living a double life because it was a great place to learn the food business, but I didn't believe in the products that they were making. As I was getting more and more active, I stopped eating protein bars about 10 years ago. Pretty simply, they didn't leave me feeling good, packed with tons of sugar. I discovered this refrigerated bar brand, which I thought was great. And then after eating that, you know, for 6 months, I turned it over and realized there was just as much sugar as a Clif Bar inside of it. And I had spent a lot of time in Sprouts and Whole Foods demoing a prior product line. And I heard all these people who had similar experiences to mine. And the thought then kind of hit me really like another epiphany one morning that I should, even though there were 10,000 protein bars out there, nobody had really taken protein bars and moved them into the 21st century. Nobody had figured out how do you make something that's actually fresh, but still great out of the fridge for 1 week? How do you make something that has a silky smooth texture? And when you eat it, gives you that sensory delight, something that's just sweet enough, that's plant-based, that's nutrient dense. Organic plant protein, we put in prebiotic fiber, and you'd never know it to the point you made a moment ago, but we put in kale, spinach, apple, banana, maca, reishi. And so in a lot of ways, I mean, I was really making the food that I wanted to eat. And I had learned over time that other people felt the same way. And so that really is kind of the guiding light for us today is how do we make food that is delicious? And then afterwards you feel awesome. You feel like you can go out and do yoga. You can go hop on a bike. Or frankly, you can just get ready for a meeting. I ate a half a bar right before this meeting knowing, okay, I'm not going to have a spike. I'm not going to have a crash. I'm going to have steady energy and it's going to help me to feel great. So that's my journey from Carl's Jr. to Brendan's.
I think I ate quite a bit of fish au fillets from McDonald's growing up, which now thinking back is so gross. Like that's not fish. I don't know what that is, but I'm also really glad that you called out Clif Bars because I'm pretty sure my mother's watching this and I went to her apartment last weekend and she had Clif Bars and I was like, dear God, mom, how many times do I have to tell you? You listen to the Bright Bar episode. So there you go, mom. You just got Clif Bars, another knock for you. Jennifer, I would love for you to share your story. I know that there's a through line there for you in a lot of ways, especially with work and burnout and how that impacted your health and, manifested in a lot of different ways. So if you want to just share your story.
Yeah. Both my parents are from the Midwest. So I grew up with a very heavy meat and potatoes lifestyle, but growing up in California, it kind of evolved over time. And I don't know, I think because of that, I early on was very cautious about health and wellness and just became aware of like green tea early on and like just started like learning about maca, like, 10 years ago, reading about it. Like I just was super interested. And I think, I landed in the food space totally accidentally and I have not left for 10 plus years. And I made a point that I always wanted to work at a company that was doing something in the health and wellness space and for the better. So obviously most of the companies I've worked at have all been health and wellness focused, though I think chips could definitely, chips are okay. But
I have found one brand that I'm okay with, but the rest of them still use refined vegetable oils and I just stay away.
Yeah, it's interesting. Even back then, that was like 6 or 7 years ago when I started there, we never used canola oil, but no one really was looking at it. And then 2 years ago, 3 years ago at Expo West, someone's like, you don't use canola oil, do you? And we're like, no, we never have. And they, consumers are starting to get savvier. And I was that consumer. I eventually probably about 7 years ago, really started looking at labels. And a big thing that I pushed when I was at Pop Chips was we have to make something with less ingredients. Like we can't keep doing this. And so here I am, like relatively healthy. I did the Whole 30 a few times, like just sort of was figuring out what worked for my body. And, you know, there were these 2 weeks randomly where I was breaking out in these huge, they're like risen hives. So like, they look like I had like, not like boils, but all over my body. And they happened at 9 PM every single night, and they would last through the night. And the next morning they would be gone, and they were hot to the touch. They're itchy. No one, I went to like 17 doctors. No one knew what was wrong with me. No one could figure out what to do. And I like went to even to an autoimmune doctor, like all these things. And they're like, well, everything looks fine. So, but we could put you on this steroid if you want. And I'm like, no, I'm not going to take drugs because you don't know what's wrong with me. So I finally, like, as you said, you think you're doing everything right, and your body can tell you, no, no, something is terribly wrong. And I eventually ended up at Parsley Health, where they have a holistic approach to health and wellness, but they also are MDs, which I really think like the balance is good. And, you know, we eventually figured some things to change and do. And within like 6 months, I was feeling better. And, you know, the hives kind of basically were gone. And it was just this really weird moment where I was like, how is this happening to me? I feel like I'm pretty healthy, but it's not. I think people forget that like your mental health can also affect your body, and also affect, like, even if you're being perfect, if I'm eating perfect every single day, like the stress and anxiety at work can really catch up with you in ways that you never thought it could. And in my life, I feel like I've always had like skin things, like I've had eczema on and off my whole life. And I feel like that's my body's way of telling me something's wrong. Like, so if I have something, like if I break out an eczema, I'm like, okay, what's going on? So it was interesting. And I think from then on, I was like, I really want to make sure that I continue to work for brands who believe in a holistic approach. And that's kind of how I ended up at Bragg, which, you know, I call a 100-year-old startup, because when I got there a little over a year ago, it was, you know, there were like 3-5 employees, and they hadn't implemented anything. They hadn't updated. I mean, it was quite literally, I have worked at a startup, but that's just really old. So it's been really fun and interesting. And it's, you know, the founder is 91 now, so she obviously no longer is a participant in the brand, but it was a good example of when you're trying to take a brand into the new world, but maybe you're older and you don't know what the new world looks like. So it was an interesting dynamic. And I think, again, I was so inspired by Paul and Patricia because, you know, they opened the first health food store in 1921, and they were pioneering whole grains and not eating meat. And they were okay with eating fish occasionally. They were pushing fruits and vegetables. They started their own product line in the 30s that included supplements and, you know, just stuff that we're doing today, which is insane. They had salt-free seasoning. They had, you know, all these things that they had, date syrup, like in the 30s and 40s. What? How did you even know that? Like, so it's just really interesting to think that people knew about this stuff, and they hold these forums to like educate people. But so it was in that time frame, if you've ever gone to like the food museum, in that time frame in our country, was when big food started putting a lot of money towards like saying that eating potato chips was good for you, and that eating ranch was good for you. And, you know, the small guys didn't have money to put ads out and do things like that. So it's just really interesting that that's how, you know, we were all raised a certain way. And it just, because of mainstream media, it got huge. So, you know, health and wellness has always been huge for me. Adaptogens are definitely part of my life. I think yoga and meditation were definitely a big key in my healing. And, you know, I'm very fortunate that I was able to find someone that was supportive, because I wasn't finding it in like full Western medicine. And I think that's where the society we live in today is very much like, give me a pill and it will be fixed. A lot of people don't want to do the internal searching that you need to do to figure out what's really going on with you. Like, why do you constantly have allergies? Why are you constantly feeling bad? So, and a lot of people don't, I think now more than ever, realizing what's actually in our food. And I think that that's also starting to be a change. It will take longer, but I think it's becoming more mainstream now, which is good.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's important that you said, you know, it's not just taking a pill and getting rid of the health ailments that you think you have. It's really just masking the symptoms. It's not curing anything, and it's creating other monopolies in your body. You know, as you're taking these medications, your body starts to have a higher tolerance for them. So you have to up that dosage. Then other things start falling apart. It really does have to be this internal journey to understand what you're putting in your body and how that is affecting the output and everything you see. And food is as basic as it gets. And every generation or every other generation, we see these fads, right? So like growing up for me, it was low fat, low sugar. Well, now we know that those products actually cause a lot of inflammation in our body, and they're packed with man-made chemicals that really aren't doing anything good for us. And so the one through line we've always had is that whole clean foods that are made by, you know, Mother Nature and the earth. That's what helps us. The earth is smart, and evolution has gotten us this far on whole clean foods. So just coming back to that ethos all the time, I think is important. But we're already getting some viewer questions. And there's one that I think is really important to answer before we continue on. And that is, what is an adaptogen? So who wants to take that? Because I know you all like talking about adaptogens, and you can all chime in. Elisa, want to jump off there?
I guess I can start, since our product is called Adapt to Gems. So I feel like those are so linked so closely together. But I mean, I think that, you know, the key thing for people to take away, and I mean, you can read up so many different studies, many of them going back to the, you know, the 20s and 50s back in Soviet Union, and really looking at, you know, athlete performance and people's response to stress. There's also a lot of studies actually done on animals, not in a sense of animal testing, but there's actually a lot of adaptogens that are being given to show horses, and then people measure their performance. And what's interesting with that is that, you know, there's always like an element of placebo with humans, which I'm actually not against, because I think there's always a mind-body connection. And if you think you feel better and you end up feeling better through that, I feel like that's a total win-win. But what's interesting with horses is that a horse doesn't know what you're feeding it. And so if you are measuring the performance of a horse jumping higher when it's taking cordyceps, for example, then and without any other change, you can kind of actually link the performance directly to that. But so I digress. But I think that the simplest way that I always, you know, explain it is that it's a special class of mushrooms and other herbs that help your body respond to and adapt to stress. And the key difference with adaptogens and some of the other herbs that are doing that as well is that their action is nonspecific. And what that means is that it sort of adapts to what your body needs. So for example, if I take ashwagandha and, for example, my circadian rhythm is off and I'm not sleeping really well, ashwagandha can help me kind of relax, you know, will kind of calm down the adrenals. There's other people who take ashwagandha and actually get more energy out of it because the imbalance in their body is a little bit different, and it kind of works on them a little bit in a different way. So you kind of can't go wrong, I would say, with taking them. And pretty much all of them across the board will help you. And then I would say, as you're kind of getting into it, and maybe you're working with an herbalist or doing more research, you can then kind of start playing around with them and seeing different effects. And some of them are better for some things than others. Like, for example, you know, reishi and cordyceps are both like amazing for immunity, but, you know, reishi is a little bit more like calming immunity, whereas cordyceps is that like fiery immunity, more of a boost. But they're great. They're my favorite. And clearly everybody here who's on this podcast as well is a big fan too.
Celeste, do you have anything to add, since you have an adaptogenic sparkling drink as well? So lots of knowledge in that realm.
Yeah, I think, so my thing is, I like, because we
Celeste, I think you're freezing a little bit.
Bringing it down. I think her Wi-Fi needs some adaptogens. Yeah.
Okay, you're back. You're good.
Okay. Yeah, what I was going to say was that was great. Yeah, that was like really great to know. For us, we totally know that not many people know about what adaptogens are. And so, like she said, absolutely, they are, you know, herbs, botanicals that have actually been part of the human herbal medicine just lexicons for thousands of years. So, you know, a lot of these traditions come from Eastern Europe. They come from traditional Chinese medicine. They come from Ayurveda. They, like she said, they have an effect on how your body regulates its hormones.
Brendan, did you want to jump in there at all? I know you mentioned reishi being used in your bars, so.
Yeah, the definition that I have found the most effective when explaining adaptogens to people for the first time is that you can think of them as being like a thermostat for your body. So if your body is running too hot, they'll help you to cool down. And if your body is running too cool, they can bring you back up to the right temperature. Once you double click on that, then there's a whole world of nuance, which you were starting to go into, Elisa. It's been surprising to me really over the past few years, because I had originally thought that a lot of people knew about them. I think it's really the people who are kind of at the cutting edge and are listening to your podcast who are learning about them. And then once you start to incorporate them into your lifestyle and you start to feel the benefits, it's really no different than what we were talking about before, where in a sense, like feeling and experiencing is believing. It's sort of scratching the surface here. But again, that's how I think about them and how I most often explain them.
Absolutely. I mean, the one I use the most is probably lion's mane when I'm having brain fog or just like I'm lethargic or just can't get myself motivated. I'll throw lion's mane in coffee or in my overnight oats or in my eggs. And it just gives me an extra boost of energy, motivation, focus. I get so much work done I should just take it every day. I don't know why I don't take it every day, but it's kind of that go-to remedy for me because I have been using adaptogens for a long time. So my body can respond to them quickly. Usually for most people, you do need to use them on a daily basis and your body needs to become accustomed to working with adaptogens to really see those benefits. But Celeste, you were going into something what I could tell was going to be beautiful about the orchestra of hormones. So I'll let you hop back into that.
Yeah, I was talking about, so like we have to remember that. And you know, when you're sleepy, melatonin is like, let's go, let's kick in. When you are, you know, you need energy, your adrenaline kicks in. When you have your period, it's estrogen and just tons of different things. So that's, and when you're stressed out, your body forgets how to regulate that. So that might look like you being stressed out and not being able to sleep at night. That's because your receptors aren't hitting and they're like, oh, you know what, we'll just figure that out later. Because there's a lot more that your body needs to deal with. And so that's how I explain adaptogens in a sense where whatever is going crazy or out of whack, adaptogens helps it come to what's exactly perfect for you. And so adaptogens also come from this great just background, like I was saying, in Ayurveda and traditional Chinese medicine. And they have to hit these four categories. And that's why I like them a lot, especially since they are science backed. There's a lot of, I mean, thousands of years worth of data as well. And what I love too, is that they're non-toxic. They, like she said, non-specific. They have to be classified as adaptogens. They have to really help with your stress. And that's the thing I think that makes adaptogen products very different from just your regular calming soda, or even CBD, for example. CBD doesn't really have it, like obviously cannabinoids or cannabinoids. And like, for me, I'm just like the emphasis on the syllable. So the emphasis on that last syllable, I don't know if you guys know my Mike Myers jokes or whatever, but But yeah, I was like, cannabinoids. Yes, that's the class, but adaptogens are a class of basically just mushrooms, herbs, roots that have all different, they all work the same way, but like she said, have different nuances. And for us, when I was looking out in the adaptogen space, there are a lot of blends. But when you're just first starting to get to know adaptogens, it's easier to do one at a time, to become familiar with reishi, to become familiar with ashwagandha, because again, you need to calibrate it for you. And so for me, we went with a single blend in each drink, because after doing, you know, say you do ashwagandha with rhodiola in it, those two things actually do very separate. One's absolutely, it's a nootropic, which is a lot like coffee. And it brings you up, and one is a calming adaptogen. And that kind of just brings you to a really mellow place. And when you do those two things at the same time, your body might not know which way to take it. And so for us, I would suggest, if you're just starting to learn about adaptogens, trying one at a time and seeing how each one works for you.
I think for people who, like you said, Brendan, adaptogens is a bit more advanced in the health and wellness world. Like, you don't just come into this and the first thing you do is start using adaptogens. So even with those descriptions, I would imagine it's still a bit overwhelming for people listening who just have never engaged with adaptogens. So before we move on to another topic, how would a person figure out which type of adaptogens they should try first? Any tips there?
I mean, I'll just say from my own experience, which, you know, I'm not a holistic RD, so take this as like just a consumer. But for me, it was more about, I researched, Four Sigmatic was like actually like my gateway into adaptogens. And then I started, you know, exploring from there. I think that they simplified it really well for me as a consumer to figure out what I needed. And then I sort of had to, on my own, listen to my body. So something really big for me was they have a product that's hot cocoa with reishi. And for me, like, this is also another strange coincidence, but my mom drinks hot chocolate every night before she goes to bed. And I finally have gotten her off of, like, you know, cocoa. Bad stuff.
Yeah.
The actual and like more. But anyways, it was something I was like, okay, well, my mom would do it because it was like warm milk and like she wanted something sweet with chocolate. So I started with that, and I felt like eventually over time, it was not an overnight sensation, that I felt like it was easier for me to fall asleep, because that was always my thing, is I had a hard time falling asleep. Once I was asleep, I was asleep, but I had a hard time falling asleep. And that like started early on in my 20s, even in college a little bit. And then, you know, I've never been a big coffee drinker. I just haven't loved the taste. And I learned really quickly it was because most coffee beans growing up for me in college and in the 20s were burnt and not necessarily good for you. So I hated it, and I just like never grew a taste for it. And I always was a green tea drinker, matcha. And when I do drink coffee now, like, I'm very mindful of it. But for me, because I didn't grow up drinking it, it affects me. Like I will have a racing heart. I will get jittery, like even after one cup of coffee. So for me, I was like, okay, well, there's got to be some sort of alternative that I can have that's not going to make me stress out but that could give me what I want. And, you know, I found a product that had a little bit of coffee and some adaptogens, and I started with like lion's mane. And then eventually now, you know, sometimes I'll do ashwagandha. And now there's like, and this was like, you know, 7 or 8 years ago when there wasn't a lot of products out there. Now there's like tons. So there's more that you can actually find that are more mainstream. And I think I've noticed a huge difference. I think I can actually drink coffee and enjoy it now that I know what kind of coffee beans to drink. And I can not have that crash, which is the other second part of it, was that, you know, here I would be like chatty Cathy for like an hour or two. And then all of a sudden I would be so tired. And like, so not only did it affect me on the up, but also on the down. And I think that those adaptogens really helped that for me. And so that I could have a cup of coffee and not feel terrible afterwards. Cause that's also what I associated it with. That was like my experience. I don't know. I'm sure you guys are way more into adaptogens or know more than I do. So would love to hear what you guys think.
Yeah, I don't know if you mind, but I actually love talking about coffee when it comes to talking about adaptogens. When people ask, like, how do adaptogens work? It's like coffee. You know that when you have coffee, when your body metabolizes it, it lets out all that energy into your body. And same thing with adaptogens. It's just a very different type of, a type of feeling, very different. And the other thing with adaptogens is that coffee you'll feel very instantly. Adaptogens, like you said, if you haven't experienced, if you've used them a lot and, you might feel that a lot more quickly because maybe your stress levels are actually a lot more balanced. And so it doesn't take too much to calibrate. But when you've been stressed out for a very long time, and stress can accumulate for years, decades, it might take a longer time to get to back to where it is. So it really just depends on how much stress is in your system. But it is the same mechanism, or at least, if you're going to replace coffee, is one of those things where it's like, yeah, you have coffee every day. Most people do. Tea every day. Most people do. And it's that feeling. People expect there to be, especially with adaptogens, people expect there to be a very instant reaction. But like I said, if you've been dealing with stress for a long time, it might not be as instant. And so when you're just starting to get into it and trying to figure out what works for you, you can't expect the changes to be like instantly today. It might take 2 weeks. I would say most often it takes about that long for people to really see a result. And the results you're looking for are, did you go to bed? did you stay awake without needing coffee? Did you, feel, like work out and not feel tired afterwards? And that's how you would know it makes a difference. And cause it really is kind of confusing when you're just like, okay, I've been taking this now for a day, feel the same. And it's like, well, actually, there was a lot going on that it kind of went in and be like, okay, what am I doing here? All right, we're going to need a little bit more. And it might actually not even take that much, a quarter teaspoon of cordyceps, a half teaspoon of reishi, might be enough to make a difference in a lot of people. So that's what makes it very different, again, too, from coffee. When you've taken you've had 9 cups of coffee, you are wired and crazy, But with adaptogens, you could have the quarter teaspoon and have that same, have the same sustenance, have the same balance. And that might be enough.
Maybe the way to make it. Oh, go ahead, Alisa, please.
No, so I was actually going to add, I think this is where, I think sometimes going the blend route is good for people. Like, I think if somebody is very sort of intimidated and you go into Sprouts, would be a good example, and you're looking at like 40 different herbs, I think sometimes going for something that's like pre-formulated for you, I think is good. For our blends, we actually, for that reason that it kind of takes a while for people to build up in the system, we actually put in sort of a fast acting and a slower acting adaptogen together. So one of our really popular blends is Defend. And we mix vitamin C, which works like pretty instantaneously, with reishi mushroom, that kind of builds up in your system together. So that is where, you're kind of getting over that consumer objection of like, I just don't feel anything. And same with our Slib blend, we have ashwagandha and melatonin. So melatonin kind of like instantaneously like puts them to sleep, and, they start to evolve, start to kind of see the improvement. And then that kind of keeps them within the category too, because I absolutely... I think from customer service perspective, like, we're just getting so many inquiries from people who tell us like, well, I tried this and like nothing happened. And I'm like, well, because you're taking something that is supposed to like help you relax, but it's not going to instantaneously put you to sleep. So I would definitely say look for blends, look for something that's put together. But I would say agree with Celeste, like if a blend has maybe more than like 4 things in it, then I would say people are starting to put things in it just to make it look like super packed, and probably things that are on the bottom don't really do anything. But look for a nice blend that has maybe like 2 or more, 3 ingredients together that have been kind of optimized, that maybe kind of help you get into it a little bit easier. And then you can kind of start going into that aisle and build a whole entire kitchen cabinet that I have that's just like powders on powders on powders.
Well, apparently we should have done just an adaptogen session because I'm just getting so many questions. I promise we'll circle back around to them at the end to get them answered. But before we move on, maybe the best way to make it the most approachable if someone doesn't want to try like a blend or doesn't understand how to find that is just to list which ones are how they benefit you. So like we said, lion's mane is really good for energy and focus. Ashwagandha is good for de-stressing and taking some of the edge off of anxiety. I think cordyceps is great for athleticism and endurance.
Energy.
Mm-hmm. Energy. What about like reishi and maca?
Reishi, I would say, is incredible for the immune system.
Immunity.
I mean, yeah, it's literally like the immortal mushroom is what it's called. Reishi. Maca also is especially wonderful for women's health.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good. We got a question about menopause. So maca, menopause, do those go hand in hand?
Oh, absolutely.
Maca. And then also I would say ashwagandha, because a lot of the menopause symptoms a lot of times have to do with depletion of adrenal glands and your body kind of not switching from sort of ovarian production of estrogen to adrenal production. So I think a lot of people think like menopause, you have to take stuff for energy, but you actually need to take a lot of nourishment. So that's where like ashwagandha, reishi really, really come into play.
Awesome. Great. Okay. We're going to have to just have an adaptogen session, live Q&A down the road. But for the purpose of this conversation, something, Jennifer, you had said that has been sticking with me is around canola oil. And I actually was in the grocery store this past week and I was at Sprouts and I was shopping and a girl was there with her mom and she was like, is canola oil a nut oil, a seed oil? And they were kind of talking about it. And I just stopped and I said, it's a seed oil. She's like, oh, okay, thank you. So that's healthy, right? And I said, do you mind if I just give you a little advice? It's a refined vegetable oil. And so I'd suggest you go for an extra virgin olive oil or an avocado oil because, you know, canola oil can be pro-inflammatory in your body, whereas those have healthy fats that help contribute anti-inflammatory compounds through your meal. And so are there other ingredients that are very popular in prepackaged foods or just in everyday meals that people eat that they should be staying away from, canola oil being that first one? But are there any others that we want to call out that if a food contains that ingredient, it's probably not the best for you?
I mean, my rule of thumb is if you can't pronounce it and you don't know what it is, it's not good for you. So a good example that like we handled that through innovation was like, you know, we created chips out of potato pellets, which, you know, that's fine. But I was like, well, can we actually put something else in there like beans? Or we landed on peas. So we created a product that was just pea salt and olive oil. And, you know, processed foods like chips and, you know, I'm sure we could go on and on about granola bars because people don't realize like brown rice, sugar, like there's some things that like there's a process that happens to create them to be in a certain form. And then there's adhesives and things that some brands don't even have to list. So, and that goes into even the supplement world, which is even crazier. And I think one thing that I'll say that affects our brand is like with apple cider vinegar, there's this huge supplement craze around it, but no one knows really. They're making all these claims, but no one really knows what, like you look at the panel and you're like, okay, that kind of sounds okay. Like there's other things in it than apple cider vinegar and they're making claims, but no one is really talking about what apple cider vinegar really does for you and what the active benefit is from it. And are making claims that literally is impossible, but it's a supplement world and it's not regulated. So it doesn't matter. Like, so I just think in general, like if you can't pronounce it, if it looks like it's a chemistry puzzle, like it's likely, like it comes off of, you stay away. I think like Whole Foods, all of that. Another good example would be, you know, like all the sugars out there. Xylitol isn't necessarily bad, but you just want to make sure it's coming from a good source. Like the organic is super important. and making sure all the products on the back of it are organic. Like, it's not just trying to claim organic, which they've gotten better about that. But even the sugars, I would say a lot of the sugars, like I could list a million off, but at the end of the day, you probably just want honey or date syrup or just plain old sugar, because everything else is so processed and has so many chemicals in it. And that's like, for me, like, if you can't pronounce it, you don't know what it is, stay away from it.
Yeah. One that I always say is maltodextrin. You know, that's just another name for sugar, and it's a very strange name, but there's like, I don't know, 70 different names for sugar. And so, yeah, some people will see organic cane sugar on the back and they're like, oh no, it says sugar, I shouldn't have it. But that's at least better than having like maltodextrin or high fructose corn syrup. You can read that, but that is also a man-made compound that you should probably be staying away from.
Yeah. And to build on that, oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, like, you have to just be careful. Like, with even with stevia, like, is it organic? Is it like, I mean, I'm sure, Brendan, you have way more experience with this with bars. So I would love to hear what you have to think, but that's just been my experience.
To build on what you were saying, Jennifer, the other thing that I always find sort of shocking and disappointing is how many fillers and how much sugar is put in products that don't need sugar. So when I go even to Trader Joe's, I always turn over the bread because I want to see when sugar is being added to the bread. You don't need sugar in your bread. And you can do that in pretty much any aisle. So my rule of thumb is, I want to be able to understand what the ingredients are in there. I tend to also keep an eye out for added sugars. And I've gone really, really deep down the rabbit hole of sugar in various forms. There's sugar right now is the demon of our generation, much as fat was for our parents. That being said, and this may sound like heresy, but sugar tastes good. And there's a reason why people like to eat things that are sweet. You know, we're wired to eat things that are sweet. We've kind of taken that too far in society. And now I think there's a bit of a correction that's taking place. All that's to say, I think the other thing that I pay attention to often is how much sugar is in something and how much of that is added sugar. I think a good rule of thumb is if you can find stuff that has less than 10 grams of sugar, that's great. If you can find stuff that doesn't have tons of added sugar, that's great. But there's a lot of trickery that goes into a lot of packaged foods. Some of it's necessary, frankly, just because packaged foods have to stay on the shelf for a long time as manufacturers. That's part of the dance that we have to play with retailers. But people can be really thoughtful about it. And so as you look at more and more products, you start to see the people who have done that and have said, okay, I want something that tastes great, but I want something that's offering that's nutrient dense. And that's either good for you or that's better for you. So that's my philosophy on kind of ingredients at a high level.
And actually, I agree. I think some things that you both said is, I always say have less of the real thing. So one of the things that we always encourage, we actually say just have one lozenge a day. And I think with this whole sugar conversation, there's so many like competitive brands that are claiming like you can have this whole entire bag for 3 grams of sugar and then also like 20 grams of weird fiber that's going to make you bloated and really mess up your like gut microbiome, right? So I think it's we need to sort of look at the quality of ingredients versus like the quantity that we're consuming. And I would say anything that's claiming like you could have this much of it for this little just really means that there is just a ton of things that are being kind of put into it to reduce and like optically make things appear better. So like just have real fat, have real sugar. If you're eating grains, like that's fine. I don't think we need to all be there's a lot of like movement towards being scared of certain things, right? It's like have real grains, but just have them be real. Like if you choose to eat meat, have some good, like real, you know, quality meat once in a while, like have a variety of things, just don't go overboard. And I would say stay away from brands that like promise you that you can just eat bags and bags and bags of things without any consequences. It's absolutely, you know, not true. And anything that's some kind of chemical substitute for a thing is probably not great for you either.
Yeah, all those ice cream cans that say like 100 calories for the whole pint, the ploy behind that marketing is to get you to eat a pint of ice cream every single night. And that contains, you know, man-made sugars most likely that are don't have those every single night. That's not a solid idea. But I think there's a really big question being asked right now. And it is the two questions coming in are the difference between sugar and added sugar on a label and why is sugar so bad? And that's kind of a thread, Elisa, like you were saying, we don't want to drive fear from sugar, but it's a little complex to explain, but sugar in its natural form, which is called fructose, is not bad. Fructose is found in fruits, and fruits are essential to life and to your health. It is refined sugars that go through man-made processes. A lot of refined sugars, say if you go in the baking aisle and you grab some white sugar off the shelf, it could have been bleached. And that chemical, the chemistry of the actual sugar molecule or ingredient is changed. It is no longer the sugar or the fructose that you're going to find in fruit. And so I wonder if someone can kind of explain the difference between sugar and added sugar and how we can have a safe relationship with sugar and know that we're not doing our bodies a disservice.
Yeah, I'm happy to take a stab at it. So the FDA has a very specific definition of what added sugar is. Let me start out by sharing what added sugar is not. So added sugar, here's probably the best way to frame it up. Fruit has zero added sugar. It is, all the sugar that's in there is naturally occurring. And it happens to be paired with fiber also, which slows down its digestion. It slows down the process of you eating it. It slows down your metabolizing of it. You're not going to get a spike. You're not going to get a crash. Added sugar is going to be in the form of cane sugar, honey, agave, brown rice syrup. And those sugars, technically, I don't know if honey would be considered a refined sugar. It might be.
It is.
Okay. Yeah, I know it's considered by the FDA as an added sugar. Those are all products that are used to sweeten foods. If you look at them in absolute, if you were just to eat a spoonful of honey, you're going to probably spike your blood sugar a bit and you're going to feel kind of jittery for a second and then you're going to crash after that. Where the story gets a little bit more complex is if you start to look at added sugar in the context of the food that you're eating. So for example, we use organic agave in our bars. It's something that I thought a lot about. At the end of the day, we wanted something that was going to taste really, really delicious. And we wanted to keep that added sugar at a level that we thought was acceptable and the total sugars at a level that was acceptable. The other thing that was really important as we were designing our product was we were looking at glycemic index. And for those people who don't know, glycemic index is essentially a measurement of how much your blood sugar is spiking when you're eating something. So if something has a high glycemic index, for example, straight table sugar, if you eat it, you're going to get a huge spike and you're going to get that crash. If something has a low glycemic index, you're not going to get that. So our product, for example, has a low glycemic index because it's paired with organic plant protein, fiber, and healthy fats. So you're actually going to get steady energy. And I get into the details there because I think they're important. As with many villains, which sugar, you know, can sometimes be portrayed as, it's very easy to look at things in black and white terms. My own evolution has been that, again, I think you need to have products that are good for your body. You need to have products that are good for your soul. You shouldn't cut out chocolate from your life.
I need pizza. Pizza.
You need to have pizza. Like ice cream is really great. But I think to kind of wrap it all in a bow, you don't want to eat, as you were saying before, ice cream every night. And you don't want to have tons of sugar every single day. Because if you put it into the context of everything that's going into your body, you want to have a balanced set of nutrition. You want to have something that's going to give you energy, that's going to help you to do you. And so love sugar, but don't eat tons and tons of it, because at the end of the day, it's not really nutritive. It's delicious. And if it helps you to eat more foods that are nutritive, this is my personal opinion, great to a point. Don't feel guilty, don't feel bad, enjoy it, but also just keep an eye on it. Don't eat tons of candy every single day. Yeah. You have a Snickers bar now and then, but
don't tell my husband that. Don't tell him that, Brendan. Celeste, I know you wanted to add something to the sugar conversation also.
Yeah. I guess this is my theory on it, why is sugar bad? And also the other thing too, or to remember with added sugars, is pretty much anything you add for flavor would be in that category of added sugar. If it doesn't naturally occur, like in fruit, that's a different category. And FDA is actually requiring us as of January of this year to be separating the two. And a lot of people are actually they're skirting that. I'm really seeing some labels that are like, there's no added sugars. But, if you've added sugar for it to be sweet, that's definitely an added sugar. But as for why sugars are bad, they're not. But what's bad is the processing. So for me, when you look at history and also just evolution, our bodies have not yet evolved in order to process processed foods. And that's why so many crazy things happen. When you eat a diet of processed foods, you become obese. You get sick, you are open yourself up to becoming, to getting all different types of diseases. We know that a family that lives in a certain zip code in a desert, a food desert, where there's not access to healthy foods, they're 70% more likely to die of these diet-related diseases. And I really do think that that's because processed foods are not part of our bodies yet. They're not something that we know how to do. Processed foods have really only been around for the last three generations at the most. Jennifer's founders are still alive and they started this she's 91. So for us to have evolved to process foods efficiently, it's just not really there. We're not there yet. And I don't really so when I see it, it's when we eat processed foods, our bodies don't know what to do with that. Mm-hmm. But when you have whole foods, which is why there's just such a big movement towards eating whole foods, especially when it comes to your health. For me, pre-diabetic, they're like, you've got to start eating real vegetables, not juice. You've got to start eating, real fruits. And I couldn't, I just was like, ugh, this is so much work. But at the end of the day, our bodies know how to do that. Our bodies have evolved to do that very efficiently. And so when it comes to a sugar, like, for example, a really popular one would be erythritol. That's in a lot of drinks. Xylitol is also a sugar alternative. When your body gets to that, it literally doesn't just put it in and it's like, all right, let's process that. It's like, wait, I need to get the manual out. I need to figure out how to do this. Let me actually store it in your belly fat for a second and get back to this later. And sometimes it doesn't ever get back to it, and that's how, for me, when I simplify the process in my head, it's really, that's why we should be looking out for processed foods. And by process, even like for our drinks, we try to do as least processed as possible. So it's, we use whole fruit purees, which means it's picked, it's peeled, it's pureed, and then it's put in our drinks. Now, when you come to juices, it's picked, it's peeled, it's juiced, which removes the stuff that actually our body needs in order to process it, which is fiber. And then that gets taken out. That's another step. And then when you get to flavors, which is, when they say natural flavorings, that now that they take that juice, they clarify it, they take all the stuff that, might clog up a drain or might like the plant material out, and they just have the chemicals so that it tastes like what it tastes like when it's a whole fruit, but with a lot less, like a concentrate. So as you get further and further, you're down the pipeline, you're like, okay, so for example, green tea extract, pretty simple. Green tea concentrate, also simple. But that's still like four or five steps of processing. And then you get into GABA, or, you know, like the extract of what makes green tea energy, like what gives it the energy, and you'll have that. But as you get further and further, and if you can't spell it, or it gets longer and longer, you know, in its name, that's how you know it's more processed. And our bodies might not actually have the manuals to process those.
And that is why we call it holistic, because you do need to look at this through a very full, whole lens. And so even something that we haven't mentioned yet is if you are putting something in your body and your body takes out that manual, puts it in your belly fat for a little bit because it doesn't know what to do with it. Also, what's happening around you in your environment can impact the way that your body's going to process that food as well. So if you're in an extremely stressful situation, or say you're grabbing something and eating on the go while you're in the car rushing to get somewhere, your body is in a fight or flight mode, which means it's not even going to digest anything that you put into it. It's just going to store it. And that's when those compounds get stored in your fat. And over time, especially in this very stressed out world we live in, it starts to accumulate, and you start to create these more inflammatory hormones that throw off the balance of all of your hormones. So it's really mind, body, soul health, because the way you're emotionally feeling is going to affect the way that you're digesting everything that you're putting in your body, whether your body knows what it is or not. But something I did want to point out is if you are going to eat a Snickers bar, you can have Bragg apple cider vinegar, and it will slow down the blood sugar spike, right, Jennifer?
Yeah, I was just going to say the whole, like, you know, this was so helpful on sugar, but also what happens to your body is what you really want to know about. And that's when you eat even like pizza or pasta or chocolate, those things spike your blood sugar, and then you like feel great. You're like, oh, you know, you're on a sugar high, so to speak, and then you crash. And then maybe an hour later, you crave it again. And then that's what happens with the spirals, that people don't realize like why they're always constantly craving sugar and then like salty. And they're literally trying to stay high because they feel good on when they're high, and but they don't realize they're constantly just crashing, and then you're constantly eating bad food. So I think that's something to really know, is that's what's happening to your blood sugar. And you want to be trying to all day, just maintaining your blood sugar all day. You never want it to spike. And there's a lot of different companies now that are monitoring. You can monitor it yourself and actually watch it. And it's just crazy. Even something like with a date with like almond butter on it can totally spike your blood sugar. And something really nice that we have a lot of research on is that if say you're like, okay, I'm going to treat myself to a donut today, you can actually take apple cider vinegar before, during, or after you eat something like that. And it will help level out your blood sugar, so you don't have that spike, so that you don't have to have this huge crash. So I don't want to say like eat all the pizza you want every day and just have apple cider vinegar, because that's not what you should do. But if you are going to eat something like that, it can help so that your blood sugar, you know, it helps with like weight management and appetite suppression. Like it's, you know, it's this weird elixir that's been around for years, and we're still learning a lot about it. But I would just, if you are going to have something like that, a lot of people take it before they go to bed. Like they'll have a glass, always, always dilute. Do not drink it straight. It's really bad for your tummy, or it would really hurt. Before they go to bed. So like after they've had dinner, or maybe they've had something sweet, and they say they sleep really well. I don't know if that's really like, I don't know how that would work chemistry wise, but it does help. And I've even done it myself multiple times, and I'm like, wow, I'm not cranky and don't feel like I want to eat another piece of sugar, or, you know, so it does, that's something you can do when you do want to indulge. And, you know, we have enough products for you with apple cider vinegar in it that if it's like too strong for you, there's plenty of other things to do. So
yeah,
should definitely try it and see if it works, and call me if it doesn't, because maybe, you know, maybe it was not enough or whatever it may be, but it does work.
that is not an excuse to just eat sugar all day long and then take a shot of apple cider vinegar. And like Jennifer said, always dilute it. It's like 1 to 2 tablespoons in at least 8 ounces of water. Don't just take shots of apple cider vinegar, but there's lots of do's and don'ts that Jennifer and I dig into in her Clean Body Podcast episode, which just released this last Wednesday. So if you want more rules and do's and don'ts for apple cider vinegar, go check them out there. But I can't believe it's already been over an hour. So I want to start wrapping up this conversation. And because we've talked about it being mind, body, soul, and a holistic journey to health, I want to hit on well-being practices that you all recommend as well, because it's not just about what you put in your body. It's how you treat yourself and your body every single day from an emotional and a mental perspective as well. So open up the floor, any well-being practices that you all would like to share.
Yeah, I'll start off and I'll share one that I discovered fairly recently, which has been a game changer for me, which is take a break from your phone by making it harder to access. And make hard stuff that you know is important to do easier. What I have begun doing, two things. When I wake up in the morning, first thing I do is meditate, which I use my phone for. I then put my phone in that room and I leave and I go to another room. And having that distance prevents me, if I'm feeling nervous or stressed or anxious, from reaching for it and pulling up Instagram or Googling something which just came to the top of my mind, or whatever other escape I'm looking for. I simply can't do it. It's too much work. And the second one that's related to that is don't look at your phone for the first hour after you wake up. Doesn't mean
that's
you're not
a hard
to
one.
It's a really hard one. And some days are better than others. Again, it helps to have it in another room. Doesn't mean you don't have to do email. You pop open your computer and do email. I find though that the phone is somebody described it really well, which was I'm trying to remember the exact phrase. It wasn't that it was a weapon of mass distraction. No, that's what it was. It was a weapon of mass distraction.
I was going to say that sounds right.
Yeah, and I think that's really true. So that's a new one for me, which I found quite helpful in my repertoire.
For me, I would say, especially during the pandemic, taking a break to go for an outside walk with no phone, no headphones, just yourself, even if it's just literally walking around the block and it takes less than 10 minutes. Like, there's a lot of studies that I've recently seen that, like, I felt like it was helping me creatively and also just in general to step away from my office for a second, or even your home or wherever you are, just to literally get outside is such, like, it's so good for your mind. It's so good for your brain to give it a break. And I would highly recommend people trying to find time for that, because I know it's hard and it's easier said than done, but it is super helpful. And then the second thing was, you know, the pandemic was sort of a blessing for me in the sense that I was like, I've always been a runner. I've always been working out a lot, doing a lot of like intense workouts. And when I couldn't go to those classes anymore, I realized like that sometimes that there is a barrier of like, maybe you're doing this, maybe this workout wasn't actually good for you. And that maybe you were pushing yourself too hard and that causes a lot of stress in your body. And I think I would always say that be gentle on yourself and to, you know, not be so worried about a scale and just worry about how you're feeling and worry about like what feels good and what doesn't. If something exhausts you to the point where like you have to go to bed, like after you, or take a nap, or it's probably not great for you. So I think it's just learning what's actually works for you and your body, which takes time. I mean, it just does, but not to be so worried about like how many calories you're burning and just thinking about how you actually feel, I think is super important.
That's great. Elise or Celeste, do you have any to add?
So for me, it's trying new things. So I think even like wellness activities or whatever it is, if you keep doing them, they kind of lose that effect on your body. And one of the most important things for brain health is to like constantly be a beginner at something. So like I just started playing pickleball and I'm like hooked, and it was great to go like start and not know the rules, not know what you're doing. But I always try to do like, okay, I'm going to try like a pottery class. I'm going to try whatever like dance class you want to do. But like, you just constantly want to be putting yourself in a situation where you are not comfortable, but in a way that it's like fun, you know, like to Jennifer's point, like there's that bad uncomfortable. But it's just really, really important that for your brain to have that excitement of new things and sort of being a little bit of that, of the comfort that kind of gets, you know, kind of revs up your whole entire system across the board. And it's been shown to be good for everything from brain health to your, like down to your immune system, actually.
I love that. That's so great. Everything with this podcast and live Q&A and everything is a new experience for me. So I feel like my brain is being challenged on a daily basis right now. So Les, do you want to add any?
Yeah. I think for me, especially during quarantine, lockdowns and things like that, a really important part of it, like while the world is falling apart around you and you're stuck at home, you know, without boundaries really between what is work and what is, you know, your real life, grounding has been really important, like grounding just rituals. And that could be as simple as meditating. It could be simple to, like, if you have crystals, holding on to those. It's also just kind of being able to sit with yourself and affirmations, you know, just to kind of remind you who you are and what you do. So for me, it could be as simple as I can do this, to I am respected and my work is valued. Because I feel like those are kinds of things that we might have gotten if we were in an environment where we were around our coworkers. You know, you might get that feeling of community, but you have to be your own community in these spaces now. But yeah, so if your grounding practice includes meditating, breathing, yoga, or if it includes going out into nature, you know, I think that that's just so important to keep us anchored in a time where there's just so much going on.
Absolutely. I'm going to add two based on questions that we're getting. One was about using technology before bed. And that's a really great question. It's the same as Brendan was saying with the morning. At night, you want to try to avoid blue light. So that's your phone, your TV, your computer. That blue light actually prevents your sleep hormones from being produced. And so your brain is not getting the signals that it's time to go to bed. So that melatonin production actually happens at a lower level when you have that blue light before you're going to bed. So it can be definitely be really hard to avoid phones and TV and computer before bed, but try to get some new habits, like go for a night walk with your pups or read a book, or even, you know, this does have your phone, but you can turn the light down on your phone or turn the blue light off. There is an option to do that on your phone and listen to a podcast and just lay there. That will keep your brain awake a little bit more than like a walk or a book, but it's just cultivating that habit of not having those blue screens in front of you right before bed so that your hormone production is happening the way that it's naturally supposed to happen. And then someone else asked about like grounding and meditation. Meditation can be really hard to start doing. So I always say like start really small, you know, as you're making your coffee in the morning and the coffee maker's going, just close your eyes and breathe and try to meditate for the minute that you're waiting. You can do mini meditations or micro meditations, which you literally just close your eyes, exhale your breath, take in one big breath and imagine it's the last breath you're ever going to take, and then exhale as slowly as you can. And those are just little ways to start getting into meditation. Also, journaling is a really good grounding exercise. So yeah, those are some helpful everyday tips for kind of calming your mind and brain. And I think nature bathing is a huge one, Jennifer. There's so many studies around just being outside in nature, and not just being outside, but pay attention. Like, what are the shapes of the leaves? What color is the sky? How many clouds are in the sky? What sounds can you hear? Really try to be as present as you can in nature. And even 3 to 5 minutes will have such a boost on your mood. But This was really wonderful. Next time I'll schedule for 4 hours because we still, I think we got to like 3 questions that I had listed, but everyone is asking specifically where to buy adaptogens. And obviously we have products here with adaptogens in them. So I just want to go through one by one and have you kind of share how people can get in touch with you if they have more questions after this Q&A, and also how they can get their hands on your products. So Alisa, you want to kick it off?
Yeah, definitely. We are, you can find us on KindRoot, KindRoot.com. Email us, say hey at KindRoot. And then of course you can DM us through Instagram. And then we also just started our TikTok. So follow us for kind of behind the scenes and silly inspirational videos that we post every day.
Jennifer, go ahead.
We are at Bragg. And on Instagram, if you have any other questions, I monitor with my team. So if you have questions for me directly, just let them know or just say for Jen. All of our products are mainly nationwide, but most of the new stuff that you see behind me is not. But you'll be able to buy it on Amazon and Bragg.com.
And that is Bragg with 2 G's, B-R-A-G-G. Yeah. Brendan, go ahead.
So our products are available nationwide at Sprouts. You can find us in Whole Foods in Southern California, Arizona, Nevada, Hawaii, and also Pavilions here in Southern California, brightfoods.com. Will ship directly to your door. And you can find us at Eat Bright Foods on Instagram. If you want to get in touch, you can DM or you can also send an email to hello@brightfoods.com. Those actually all come directly to me, and I love doing customer service. I spend a lot of my time with customers. So if you have questions, email me, and we'll do my best to get back to you within 24 hours.
Oh, yeah. Everyone here wears a million hats. That's kind of the name of the game. So if you are DMing them, there's a good chance you're DMing these people you're seeing right now. Celeste, go ahead. Yeah.
If you want to hit me up, it's Celeste Perez, at Celeste Perez. You can also hit up, is it this side? At Drink Droplet. You can get us at Air One in California and about 100 different spots on the US, your local apothecary, your favorite special indie boutique, and at drinkdroplet.com. We deliver pretty much anywhere here in the US and we have some spots in Canada as well.
Awesome. Yeah, you guys can also get a ton of your questions probably answered in the hour-long episodes with each of these awesome people. Brendan is episode 2, Elise is episode 4, Jennifer's episode 5. That one just came out this last week, and Celeste is coming out in 2 weeks. And I do have to just give a plug. If you listen to the podcast, there are discount codes for ordering online. So, you know, everyone can always use 15 to 20% off. That's always a nice thing. But thank you guys so much. I super appreciate you going 20 minutes over and taking the time on a Sunday to talk to me. And I hope we get to collaborate more in the future.
Definitely. Thank you.
Hey everyone, I hope you enjoyed that live Q&A. Don't forget there will be more coming up soon, so follow us on Instagram, Holistic Lauren Kelly, or The Clean Body Project to stay up to date when those events are coming up, so you can either tune in live and ask your own questions, or you can get them on the podcast platform when they come out. As a reminder, this podcast is for educational purposes only. It is not a substitute for professional care for a doctor or otherwise qualified health professional. This podcast is provided on the understanding that it is not a replacement for medical or other health-related services. If you're looking for help in your journey, seek out a qualified practitioner. I'll see you next week.